reference, then say the verse, and then the reference. Here we go. Psalm 119, 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Psalm 119, 59. Lord, bless in the moments that we have together, Lord, in our Sunday school hour. We are once again mindful of Fred and his loss and asking your hand of mercy to be upon him and his dear family as they travel. And Lord, then work in our midst today as we discuss more of how to please you, or we might be more pleasing in your sight. And Lord, when it's all said and done, this class is concluded for the day. Lord, help us to leave here a little bit more knowledgeable about the word of God, and then, Lord, a little bit more Christ-like in our doings and our ways and our thinking, and, Lord, be conformed to the image of your dear Son. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Well, Psalm 119, you're in lesson number 8, and let's get you filled in on some of the blanks that you need to be filled in, because we are on lesson or Roman numeral 2, and we got halfway done with that one. So Roman numeral 1, this whole lesson is how to please God. Of course, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, first of all, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that is the premise behind this lesson here. So Roman numeral 1, we saw, was a description of faith, a description of faith. We saw in order to live by faith, we must understand what it is. Amen. So A, true faith has confidence. A, true faith has confidence. Amen. We've got to have confidence in the word and the ways of God. Then, B, true faith requires change. True faith requires change. If you believe God's will, you will act upon it. B, true faith requires change. And C, true faith demands commitment. Got to stay the course. True faith demands commitment. That's C. And then we came over to Roman numeral 2. Everybody got those? Did I go too fast? All right, everybody got those. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Amen. A daily forecast. So faith is a daily forecast. A daily forecast. In other words, it's a daily activity. Amen. Normally through the ordinary tasks that we do. All right, so it's a daily forecast. And then A, we saw every day there must be a step of faith. Why? Because we live by faith. We walk by faith. So every day there must be a step of faith, A. And then B, every day there must be many opportunities. Many opportunities. Where are those opportunities going to come from? Normally in the ordinary tasks that we perform, we will have to access faith, amen? Whether it's going to the store, driving down the road, amen? Whatever it may be. There may be specific instances as well in the opportunity. Say you're driving and somebody cuts you off. What are you tempted to get? Mad, angry. The Bible says what? Be angry and what? And sin not. So within the ordinary task that we're performing, there may be opportunities for us to exercise our faith and say, God, I need a little bit more patience in what I do because I'm getting angry. Or Lord, I'm getting irritated there. You got to help me with my irritation. And I'm letting this person get the best of me. Amen. By the way, are people ever the problem? No, people are never the problem. It's what the devil does through the people. And the devil wants you to get the wrong person. The Bible clearly says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So the person is never the problem. It's what the devil is causing the person to do is the problem. And that's why we normally get angry at sinners instead of at sin. Amen. Because we get the wrong enemy. So every day there must be opportunities, many opportunities. Amen. Normally through the ordinary tasks that we do. And then C, that's where we left off on. Every day there must be an attribute needed. There must be an attribute needed. Or in other words, there's got to be something that we need from God. Something that we need from God. Notice Hebrews 11:6 down there. The emphasis is on the second part of the verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's got to be some attribute that I need from God to help me out. And that's why I go to him. So every day is going to be an attribute. And we're going to talk about some of those attributes here today. But the emphasis is on diligently seeking him. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. First Chronicles chapter number 16. I want to show you something here. First Chronicles 16. Brother Carl, I thought you guys were still traveling. You're back already. Amen. First Chronicles 16. Did you bring back pictures? Bring back pictures? Amen. Amen. All right. First Chronicles 16 is where we're at. And the emphasis on seeking him. And I want you to notice a couple things here. First Chronicles 16, we're going to be in verse number 10. And notice what it says down in verse number 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice do what? Seek the Lord. Notice verse 11. What does it say? First three words. Seek the Lord and his strength. What? Seek his face continually. So in other words, wanting to get in the presence of God, wanting to know more about God, wanting to see what he has for me. Amen. How many of y'all wake up every morning? You want to see what you have for breakfast. Amen. Most of us do. What am I going to eat today? Amen. For dinner, it's the same thing. What am I going to eat? Amen. A lot of times ladies say, what am I going to cook? I'm seeking for what I want to cook. I want to see what I've got to cook. It's the same way with God. If we have spiritual needs, which we do, and we've got to seek the Lord. We've got to see in what he wants from us. Amen. So those verses say, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. How often do we eat? Continually. I mean, not continually, but you know, day after day is what I'm trying to say. Amen. Day after day we eat. So we ought to day after day do what? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Amen. Give you another verse here. Go over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, and in Jeremiah 29, by the way, it's after Isaiah, and notice something particular about this verse here, Jeremiah 29, and let's go to verse number 12. Notice what verse number 12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall, what does it say there? Seek me. And what? Find me. By the way, God is not lost. You hear people say, I found God. Like God was lost. God has never been lost a day in his life. I found God. Oh, was he missing? You know, it's more like you acknowledged his presence. Amen. Because he has never been missing in action. He has always been there. Amen. But folks say, I found God. No, 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 no. He says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. Amen. By the way, everybody that's looking for God will certainly find him. I went on my quest early on in life as a youngster. Amen. I started going to church, asking questions at my school. I went to a Catholic school. I was looking for God, looking for the truth. Amen. My mother raised me religiously, and I thought there's got to be more to this than just this religion that's here. There's got to be this God that they're always talking about. And so I asked many questions. Everybody said, just shut up and just believe. Well, how are you going to believe that which you don't understand? And so I saw it and I saw it and I saw it and I saw and I saw and I saw religion at its finest. And in my opinion, it was the worst thing I could ever see. Why? There was so much hypocrisy going on. People in church doing one thing and then stepping outside doing another thing. And so I went and looked at what the Mormons had to offer, looked at what Jehovah's Witness had to offer. I went to see what the Muslims had to offer, and it was all bad. Kind of felt like Solomon, amen, shaking out everything. It was all bad. My wife and I went off into some other things that were cults, amen, Divine Institute of Metaphysical Science, and they used the Bible, and we thought that we were smart because we went here. I mean, they used the tabernacle, and they used all these things, divine metaphysical research, and we're like, yeah, we're using the Bible. We don't have to give an offering, Brother Neil, amen. And we're using the Bible. We're going on Sundays, and that still didn't fulfill anything. Somebody kept asking me about Jesus, though. About Jesus. And I said, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I'm doing a pretty good job. You know what I was doing? I was seeking.
Yes, sir. You were, Pastor.
I was seeking. And guess what? I went to Belgium and God said, seek no longer, for here I am. Amen. Yes, and as I sought the Lord, I finally found him. Amen. And he was never missing. He was always right there under my nose in the Bible that I was reading. And I found the Lord. Why? He wasn't lost. I was lost.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I was lost. So praise God. By the way, over in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, what did God say to Adam? Adam, what? Where art thou? Who was lost? Adam was lost. He had walked away from the will of God. So what did he have to do? He had to acknowledge God, amen, and get back to the place where God was at, because God was never lost. Adam just walked away. So this verse here, Jeremiah 29 and verse number 13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? All your heart. And I will be what? Found of you, saith the Lord. Is God ever lost? No, God is not lost. God is right here standing all the time. But what happens to us? We walk away from God. And we're in our circumstances. We go way over here. Where is God at? Well, you walked out in the will of God. So what do you think he is? He's still right back over there. So you've got to go back and get in the will of God, and then you'll find the presence of God. So when you're looking at Jeremiah 29, the children of Israel, of course, were dealing with captivity. And God says, you know what? When you look for me, you'll find me. Amen. If you hadn't been in sin, you would be all right anyway. Amen. So going back to our book there, every day there must be an attribute needed. Amen. An attribute needed. And they're talking about Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, or for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you think of the idea of rewarder, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Was it? Prize. Amen. Brother Hall's talking about the young man that lost his wallet. He came to church this morning. He said, it dawned on me that he gave me my wallet back and I didn't reward him. That's what he said. He said, we were sitting there talking. I was so glad I got my wallet back. He said, it never dawned on me. I didn't reward him. And then he was gone. So he came to the church this morning looking for Brother Hall to what? To reward him. Because what? Hey, I didn't know my wallet was missing. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up with my wallet. I'm thinking, oh, I want to reward him. So the Bible says, then, if we diligently seek the Lord, he is going to reward us. Amen. Now, if we're seeking the Lord, that means we're seeking for a purpose. And that's why we're talking about there's got to be an attribute needed. There's got to be something that I need from the Lord. I'm going to give you several things here to go along with your verses that you have down in your book. Because for some of you, it may be financial needs in your life. For some of you, it may be patience. For some, it may be healing. Some of you may be wisdom. Amen. God rewards those that diligently seek him. So you've got James 1:5 down there. Let's go to Isaiah 55 first. Did we look at Isaiah last week? Isaiah 55? I don't think so. If you're in Jeremiah, I'll just go back. Isaiah 55, because this goes along with your verse that we had you meditating on. I thought on my ways, turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and let's read verse number 6. Notice what it says here. Seek the Lord. Let's read that one together. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord. Okay, so now if there's an attribute needed that we're talking about here in seek, an attribute needed. Could it be possible that I am seeking for one thing and God gives me another thing? Is that possible?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Why is that so? He's going to give me that which I need. Will he give me that which I want or desire? Sometimes, maybe. Depends on if it's in the will of God. If your desires are God's desires, you're in good shape. Because you're going to get what you're asking for. If your desires are not in line with God's, then you may be gravely mistaken when you ask for one thing and he gives you something else. Amen. How many of y'all went car shopping and you prayed for God to give you a Cadillac or something like that? Amen. And you came out with a little car like that. He thought, well, Lord, that's not what I wanted. And God said, but that's what you need. That's what you can afford. That's what insurance you're capable of paying. Amen. That is the speed at which you can go. Amen. Give you a Cadillac. You may think you're all that. Amen. put a low ride on it with some shocks. Get to that. You ever seen a low rider get to that and they start hitting that button and start bouncing up and down? You're thinking, what in the world? Amen. So it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Come down to verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And that's why oftentimes we may seek the Lord for one thing and he may give us another thing, because his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Notice verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are what? My ways higher than whose? Your ways. Amen. And my thoughts than what? Your thoughts. God's on a different plane than you and I are when it comes to what we need and what we want. So if we're seeking him for one thing, we have to make sure that we have the mindset of what God wants me to have as opposed to what I want. And making sure those two come together. Amen. So when you're looking down here at your first verse, you've got James 1, 5, and 6. Let's go over there. Amen. James 1, 5, and 6. And in your book, write this word. We need wisdom. 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 James 1, 5, and 6. By the way, when do we need wisdom? Trick question. Bros? Amen, amen. We need wisdom all the time. Amen. James 1, 5, and 6. And let me give you a good working definition for wisdom that I got years ago. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct application of biblical knowledge. It is correctly taking God's word and applying it to your life. That's what wisdom is. It's something in experience that you have gained by applying God's word. If you don't apply God's word, you're not going to get wisdom, because his word is wisdom.
Yes, sir.
But his word in wisdom does you no good if you don't apply it. So James 1, 5, and 6, what do we need? The first attribute we need is wisdom, and wisdom is the correct application of biblical knowledge. We need God's wisdom every day. We make decisions. We spend money. We have to respond to others. We have to live righteously. We have to live in a wicked culture. And guess what all that takes? Wisdom. Wisdom. So you look at James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Notice what it says. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct application of biblical knowledge. If any of you lack the correct application of biblical knowledge, let him do what? Ask of God that giveth to who? All men liberally, and what? Upbraideth not. Means he's not going to chew you out for asking for wisdom. It says, and it should be given. So God's not going to chew you out for asking for wisdom. Say, for instance, one of your children comes to you and says, how do you replace the batteries in this intricate toy over here? The parent will go and give the instructions on how to do that. Is the parent going to chew the child out? No. Why should they chew them out? The child is asking for instruction, which is wisdom. Okay? So when you look at this, wisdom is an attribute that you and I need daily, the correct application of biblical knowledge. Amen. But it doesn't stop there, because he said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. He's going to freely give it to you. He's not going to chew you out or upbraid you. He says it's going to be given. But then notice the next part of that verse. Amen. Read that verse with me. Verse 6. But let him ask in what? Faith. Not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How many of y'all got high winds with the rain that came the other day? Amen. Some more than others. Amen. If I'm going to ask in faith, that is believing and then following what God said. If you're not going to believe what God says first and then follow what God said second, is it going to do you any good? No. No more good than you giving the instructions to the child on how to change the batteries and the child refuses to do it. Where's that child going to be? With a toy that doesn't work.
That's right.
Amen. Why? You gave them the wisdom on how to do it. They didn't do it. And then they stand looking at you. It still won't work. I pushed the button and it won't work. I turned it on. I turned it off. I pushed reset and it still doesn't work. And they have that poochy lip. Do we do the same thing with God?
Yes, we do, Pastor, we do.
We read what God says we ought to do to make it work. And then we don't do it and say, and God, my problem still is not solved. They still don't like me. My boss still didn't do this. My wife still didn't do that. My husband still didn't do this. My children still didn't do this. Did you apply the correct application of biblical knowledge? Did you apply? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Well, I tried that. How many times have I heard that? Brother Neil, if you and I had $5 for every time somebody said I tried that, we'd probably be rich. I tried the Bible. It didn't work. You tried the wrong way. You tried it your ways and your thoughts, which are not God's ways and God's thoughts. His ways are higher than yours. Amen. If he says to do it and turn it to the right, that doesn't mean turn it to the left. Amen. So he says down there, but let him ask in faith or believing and following what God said, nothing wavering. How much wavering? Nothing wavering. By the way, when you get saved, guess what? It was nothing wavering. It says, Lord, save me. Woo! You didn't say, Lord, save me. Holding on. And if you did, guess what? You're not saved. Amen. You can't say, Lord, save me like this. You got to be in the water. You got to be sinking in sin. And you got to jump in by faith 100% and throw everything in and let go. If you don't let go, you're still trusting something else. Amen. Hey, he says nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How many of y'all ever been on the sea before? Or out boating or something like that with some oars, and the wind comes up, and it'll take you where?
Out
where? Out yonder. Where normally does the wind take you as a boat? It takes you where the wind goes. If the wind is going this way, which way are you going? The wind going this way, where are you going? The wind going this way, where are you going? Wind going this way, where are you going? If you have no way to control it, he says, you're like this boat in the middle of the sea, tossed around, blown every way. Why? You're not putting your faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. He says, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. He that wavered like wave of sea, driven with wind and tossed. Amen. As you and I ask for God's wisdom, remember this key phrase, let him ask in faith. Notice the next verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything. From who? Of the Lord. So that's saying if I'm not going to take it and apply it and trust it, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. If I'm asking God to save me and I'm still holding on, I'm wasting my time. Why? I haven't let go of what I'm holding on to yet. Whether it's religion, whether it's my good works, whether it's tradition, whether it's my baptism, whether it's speaking in tongues, I haven't let go of it yet. And so he says, if you don't ask in faith without anything wavering, don't think you're going to get any help because it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come that way. Amen. When you take your, how many of you ever been into the car wash? And it's the car wash where you have to get out and you can't sit in it. Remember those? Amen. You had to get out. And if you had a nice car, what were you reluctant to do? Get out of the car. And if you did get out of the car, what'd you normally take with you? Everything but the seat, just about. Amen. You took everything out.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I don't trust these guys. When it comes to God, I've got to get out and I've got to trust God with everything. I've got to trust him with everything. I can't go half baked in there. Amen. He says, verse 8, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. This person that wants to have it both ways. I want to hold on to my religion and ask God to save me at the same time. Doesn't work that way. I want to ask God for wisdom, but I want to hold on to worldly wisdom at the same time. I want to ask God how to do it, but I'm going to ask my mama and daddy how to do it at the same time and take their word over God's word. Doesn't work that way. Got to take God at his word. God has more wisdom than mom and daddy. Amen. I'm not knocking mom and daddy's wisdom at all. But I'm just saying, amen. Let not that man think he shall receive anything Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. They give you another verse down here as well. Another attribute we need, not just wisdom, we need another attribute we need is power, God's power. Power. Write power down by Jeremiah 32:17. And let's go over to Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah 32:17. So the first thing that we may need on a daily basis is wisdom. And I'm sure most of us do. Yeah. The second thing is Jeremiah 32:17, God's power. By the way, does God want you to do spiritual things in your own power? No. Can you do spiritual things in your own power? No. You can do it in the flesh. Yeah. Jeremiah 32, and notice verse number 17, says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great what? Power." That same power saves you. That same power fuels you, and the same power helps you to do what God would have you to do. Amen. "By thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." But guess what? Every spiritual thing is hard for you and I. Amen. And that's why we need God's power. Amen. So next to that verse you got down there, Jeremiah 32:17, writing, we need his power. Amen. His power. But now, how does God's power work in my life? How does God's power work in my life? Rose. By faith. God's power works by faith. Now, I mentioned the toy that the child has there. If the child doesn't put the battery in, it doesn't work. But if the child puts the battery in, what is going to happen? So by faith, they say, okay, let me put this battery in here and turn it on. And guess what? It's going to start walking by itself. What makes you and I go spiritually? God's Holy Spirit power. If God says to love your wives, what can I do through the power of the Holy Spirit? I can love my wife. If God's power says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, what can I do by the power of the Holy Spirit? I can submit. If the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, what can the child do? They can obey in the Lord. So God's power gives me the ability to do what God would have me to do. Amen. So we need God's power. And by the way, his power is demonstrated through miracles oftentimes. And that's what some of the next verses talk about. Notice Matthew 9:2 there in your books there. And it's in your Bible as well, Matthew 9:2. And we see a noted miracle here, Matthew 9 and verse number 2. And behold, they brought, verse 1 says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy lying on the bed. And Jesus seeing their what? Faith. What did Jesus see? He saw the men bringing this person to him by faith, knowing that if I got him to Jesus, what could Jesus do? Heal him by his what? Power. So they exercised faith by bringing him to Jesus and saying, Jesus, we know that with your power, you can heal him. Then notice what it says down there. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, what? Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, what was the greater problem? His sins being forgiven him or him being a paralytic? Sins. Which one is harder to say, your sins be forgiven you or rise up and walk? It's easier to say your sins be forgiven. Why? Because nobody can see your sins. But notice what happens here. Verse 3, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, which is, or to say, arise and walk, which has to be demonstrated by faith. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath what? Power on earth to forgive sins. He said, so did you know that I can forgive sins when I say your sins be forgiven? So did you know that I have the power to do that? Arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he what? Arose and what? Departed to his own house. So what happened? The power of God was demonstrated in this guy when they brought him to Christ. And the same power that he rose up and walked by is the same power that you and I exercise on a daily basis when it comes to obeying what God says. We will get that which we're seeking for. Amen. Now, is it in God's perfect will to heal everybody? No, some people aren't going to be healed. Amen. So Jesus did notice these folks' faith, amen, and his power was revealed in their life. They give you Matthew 17. We're not going to look at that one as well, but that's still another one that's going with the power. But then notice this last one down at Psalms 139 you've got. And next to that, another attribute we're going to need daily is presence, God's constant presence. God's presence. By the way, one of the most comforting attributes of God is that he is always with us. What does he say in Matthew 28? And lo, I am with you, how long? Always, to the end of the world or to the end of the age. And then he is still with us into eternity. God's constant presence. And notice what the psalmist says here in 139. You can flip over there because these are attributes that you and I may need on a daily basis, and we need to ask God for these things. And by the way, this one thing, God's presence, is not something that we had to ask for. Why not? Huh? He's always with us. So what do we have to do with his presence? Acknowledge it. Recognize that he's there. Amen? Acknowledge it. Psalm 139, let's go over there real quick. So again, what is this? These are the things, attributes we may need on a daily basis. Psalm 139, notice verse number 7. And he says down there, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy what? Presence. In other words, he's saying, where can I go to get away from your presence? Is there any place that I can go to get away from God's presence? No. One of the most comforting things for me as a Christian is knowing that God is always there. Even when I don't acknowledge that he is there, what can I be assured of? That he is there. Even when I don't acknowledge that he is there. He says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art where? There. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art where? There. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even what? There shall thy hand what? Lead me, and thy what? Right hand shall what? Hold me. So I have God's presence no matter if I'm going through the toughest time in my life. Brother Fred now just lost his dad. It's comforting to know that God's with him through this time. He's mourning. This came very unexpectedly. He just talked to his dad on Sunday night, and this happened Tuesday morning. And so in his mind, how could this happen so suddenly? But he can fall back on the comfort that God's holding me. His right hand, his left hand, he's there. He's not going to go away from me. Moses says in verse number 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be what? Light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So we need God's presence. That's an attribute that we definitely need from God. Do we need his power? Yes. Do we need his wisdom? Yes. But his presence is going to be the thing that really gets us over the hump. When nobody else understands you, guess what? God does. Nobody else seems to care. Guess what? God does. When this seems like there's nobody you can turn to, guess what? God's there. When everybody else forsakes you, guess what? God's there. When you can't get inside to express how you're feeling, God knows. Amen? He is there. And I've had a lot of those moments. I'm like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how I feel. I don't even know what's going on, but God does. I can't even describe it. Folks say, well, what's going on, preacher? How's this or how's that? I don't even know. I wish I could put it into words, but if I tried to make it come out, it would come out probably confusing to you because it's downright confusing to me. And so his presence. Let me read several statements they put it here in the book. It says, since God is ever present, he's always available to guide, to comfort, and to protect us. We have no reason to fear or doubt. Many of us would admit, though, that even though we know God is always there, we don't always feel that he is. How many of y'all have been there?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
God, my mind says that you are. But how could you possibly be? I'm going through the most horrific time in my life. These are the most tragic times in my life. Whether it's with a loved one, a spouse, or with a child, Lord, how can you possibly be there and look at what I see and allow it to happen if you're here?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You couldn't possibly see this, but I know you do. And you're just flabbergasted. Now, many of us would admit that though even we know God is always there, we don't always feel that he is. And we continue in that spirit of transparency. We may also admit to times when we even feel distant from God. The difference between reality and our feelings in this situation is our faith. If we don't have faith in his presence, in his power, and in his peace, then we won't feel the results of his presence, power, or peace. And they take you right back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is being confident of the presence of God, even though we can't physically see God. I know he's there. I know he's there. Now, we're going to understand all of God's doings and all of God's ways. And we don't understand God's doings and God's ways, it makes us doubt that God is there. But we know he is. And that's the difference between reality and feelings. Between reality and feelings. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so although I can't really see God, I know he's there. Hey folks, I've gone through some of the most horrific times in my life. And I didn't see God. But I knew he saw me. And I knew he was there. They go on to say this: faith is being confident of the presence of God, even though we cannot physically see him. We were not meant to walk through the Christian life without experiencing the presence of God. We must have faith in God's presence and experience the joy of his companionship on a daily basis by faith, not by sight. We've got to believe that he is, even when we can't see it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In each new day, God wants to reveal his attributes to you. In his wisdom, in his power, his presence, and whatever you need. When the day begins, you probably won't know what attributes you will need. When Tuesday morning started off, Fred did not know he would need God's peace and God's comfort. He got a call at work that his dad had passed away that morning. He did not know that that was going to happen. Guess what he needed? God's presence. And God's peace. And he also needed the fact of God's word. He said, my word will not return void, because it gave his dad the gospel several times. And his dad never responded in the affirmative that I received that. So he's got to trust that God took that word and it wasn't going to return void when he gave it to his dad. And dad's now up in heaven with God. I've got to trust that because God said his word wouldn't return void.
Yep.
Why? Need that comfort. Need that peace. Need that presence. The last one down there you've got is D. Every day there must be a reward to gain. Every day there must be a reward to gain. So in other words, as I'm coming to God, I must believe that there's something that I can get when I come to him. Every day there must be a reward to gain. I read a quote here earlier in the week from Warren Wiersbe. He said, God's people live on promises, not on explanations. Pretty good. God's people live on promises, not on explanations. By the way, if God explains some of the things that happen in your life, would that make it feel any better? Oftentimes, no. You can't bring a loved one back. You can't change something that happened to you. You can't change a violation that happened to you years ago. So if he explained to you why it happened, does that make it any better? Oftentimes, no. Because the violation is still the violation. The death is still the death. The accident is still the accident. I lost a leg. I still lost a leg. I lost an arm. I still have no arm. So the explanation is not helping me any. God's people don't live on explanations. We live on promises that God says is going to be okay. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are by called according to his purpose. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we live on promises, not explanations. God is not obligated to explain anything to you at all that he does. I'm glad sometimes he does. But he's not obligated to explain anything to you and I at all that he does. You and I have to take daily steps of faith and rejoice in God's goodness. Amen. By the way, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
So that means that if I call the name of the Lord, I will be rewarded with salvation.
Yes, sir.
So faith, every day there must be a reward to gain. Let me leave you with a memory verse here for this week. And I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart. I already gave you guys 139.7, didn't I? I'm going to give you now add on 139.8. 139.8. And you can add on a few more of those if you want, amen. But the main thing that I want to leave you with today is that when it comes down to this, there's a daily forecast that you and I have to live by, daily activity. And every day we're going to need something, whether it's wisdom, whether it's God's presence, whether it's God's peace, whether it's God's power. Every day we're going to need some attribute of God, and we've got to ask God to give it to us. It could be just plain old wisdom to do what's right. What is wisdom again? The correct application of biblical knowledge. That's God's word applied to your life and my life. We've got to go and ask in faith. You and I don't know what we're going to need the remainder of this day. We really don't. But we know one thing. God's presence is going to help me. God's power is going to enable me. And God's peace is going to keep me through it all. I do know that. Why? Because I do not know what's going to happen. Yes, sir. I didn't give you seven. I thought I did give you seven. Okay, so I must have meant to give you that one. Okay, so let's do Psalm 139, 7 and 8. I thought I gave you that. Okay, so 139, 7 and 8, amen. And trust that'll be a blessing to you for this week. And again, what's the emphasis there is that God's presence is there. And before we close, let me read that statement to you again, because I mean, that is so characteristic of us. Since God is ever present, he's always available to guide, comfort, and protect. We have no reason to fear or doubt. Many of us would admit that even though we know God is always there, we don't always feel that he is. And if we continue in that spirit of transparency, we must also admit to times when even God feels distant from us. The difference between reality and our feelings in this situation is our faith. If we don't have faith in his presence, then we won't feel the results of his presence. We've got to believe that he is. He is. And if we're honest, there are times when we go through that, we just have to trust God by faith that he is. Amen. So Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8, and I trust that'll be a comfort for you this week. And then we'll finish up with Roman numeral 3 next week on how to please God. Father.